Hey, podcasters, I just wanted to announce that I'm organizing an intimate podcast conference here in Portland, Oregon. It's called PodConf. In a nutshell, it's an entire day where we get together to celebrate podcasters. Our event's agenda is based on three core values: inspiration, participation, and connection. We've got feature speakers to inspire you in your journey, attendee-led circles to encourage attendee participation. So yeah, less sitting around, and activities to spark meaningful connections with fellow podcasters. Community is so important, especially for podcasters. So come join us. It's going to be a fun day. Tickets are super affordable right now, under $30. So get them soon, because we're capping attendance at 150 registrations, and tickets are selling fast. For more info, go to podconf.com. That's P-O-D-C-O-N-F. com. The event is on Saturday, April 29th. I'm one of the organizers. And if you've never been to Portland, it's probably going to be amazing that time of year. So come join us.
But I just started something 2 weeks ago, what I call Newsletter Junior. And that's a personal email from me. It's just text. It's one or two tips a week. And it's not the big five articles and commentary right. and this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I actually am sending that from my personal address, and I've had a lot of responses to it. I've gotten some responses. Man, you know, I like this. This seems more personal. People have really responded. So when it comes to newsletters, maybe that's something to consider.
Hello, you're listening to Podcast Growth Hacks, where I talk to podcasters of all experience levels to unpack the most powerful growth tactics they used to grow their podcast. I'm Pat Chung. And if you're a podcaster, well then subscribe so that together we can all learn and experiment with how to grow our own podcasts. Today we're chatting with David Hooper, the host of Build a Big Podcast. He started this podcast in 2017 and now has over 518 episodes. And his podcast is a podcast about podcasting. And I'm trying this new thing where once a month, I feature another podcaster who podcasts about podcasts, where I do a brief interview with them and I feature a full episode of their podcast. So, David, welcome to the show. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Thanks for being my guinea pig. This is the first time I'm doing an episode drop. And have you ever done an episode drop, whether you dropped your episode on another podcast or you had one on yours?
I have not. We have done promo drops and we do teasers and things, but never a full episode drop. So I'm excited to be the guinea pig and jump in here with you.
All right, cool. And I've always been pretty skeptical about these episode drops. But when I thought about it more, especially when my last guest came on, Jordan Blair, she said how well it worked for her. So I thought, you know what? I should experiment with it. It makes a lot of sense. And in fact, I even started subscribing to another podcast, which has become one of my favorite podcasts because of an episode drop.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an opportunity. I see it happening a lot in fiction, especially.
Hmm.
The one thing I think that you have to realize, though, and I think it works against people, and I don't know if you felt this way too, really excited about your new episode that you're going to listen to, and like, oh, they did the old switcheroo. That's one of the reasons that we use just a promo or a teaser or a really tight edit to do that. So it gives them just a little taste. It's like the cookie store in the mall. It gives them a bite, but to buy the whole cookie, you got to actually purchase it. And that is what we've started with, you know, but I'm in here with you for the full episode.
Yeah.
So we'll know. Well, you and I will know soon enough if this actually works.
Yeah, I'll give you the results. I think it'll work for you. But like I said, I've been skeptical because as a listener, I'm like, I kind of liked it. Like it introduced me to another show, but I don't know. Maybe it made me less interested in the primary show. I'm not too sure. But anyway, we're trying it. And before we dive into your episode, I'm going to play your whole episode. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about your show.
Well, the podcast, it is about podcasting, but it is specifically about growing an audience. It is about spreading a message. It's about making people care about your message. It is about making money with your podcast. It is not about anything to do with tech, unless there's a tech element that's going to help you do those things that I just mentioned. That's the way that this podcast is different from other podcast on podcasting.
And I've been a long time listener to your show. The moment I actually started podcasting, I just Googled what are the resources for podcasting. Your podcast came up pretty high on the list. And what got you into the show? How'd you start doing this?
Well, you want to go way back, 1991, I was a music student, University of Memphis, and I walked into a radio class, the campus radio station, and my plan was to play my own music on the air. To get on the air, I had to take a class that taught you how to use the mic and the faders and whatever else, and that was my plan. I soon learned that that was not legal, called it plugola. You can't put stuff on the air that you have a financial interest in. But I stuck it out and then eventually got into music marketing and radio promotion. So I was around radio all the time. And the quick and dirty is a few years later after doing, I had the second largest music conference in the country and it just burnt me out, man. I was completely exhausted. I thought, well, instead of having thousands and thousands of people come to Nashville every year, maybe I can go to somebody with a radio tower, just like I did back when I was in school and post-school. I was a DJ and station in Mississippi. I could get on that radio tower, take my message to people. And I started something called Music Business Radio. That was 2005. Mm. And just so happened that I knew Dave Jackson from School of Podcasting. He was a musician. He had a musician newsletter. He had just started his podcast a month before. So we jumped in there together.
So 2005, you started the radio show?
Radio show, but it was also a podcast. But I'm glad you called it a radio show though, because we treated it as a radio show. We just released it via podcast. When I actually got into what I call podcasting, probably 9 years later, 2014-ish.
Got it. That's cool. And are you still doing that radio show today?
Yeah. Yep. Every week. But we're doing it remotely now. With COVID, it's really dangerous for radio guys because you're in a small room. Our studio is probably, 8x8. Hmm. And we'll have 5-6 guys in there sometimes.
Oh, wow.
One of the things, because of COVID, though, it has forced us, because we're going remotely, to do more outside of Nashville. We don't have to have you come to Nashville and come into our studio. Mm-hmm. Everybody has learned this during COVID, learning how to use Zoom, learning how to be their own engineer. But because of that, we've been able to go all over the world with the people that we interview for the radio show. So we do it like a podcast almost, but we treat it as radio as well.
So you started Build a Big Podcast in 2017. Tell us kind of the reasoning behind that.
That has a lot to do with the music business, actually, in that I was 45 years old and kind of burnt. I'd been doing music for 20, 25 years, and I was just burnt out. And the music industry had changed. When I was in my 20s, you know, I felt I was part of something and had my finger on the pulse. And I was getting older, and the music industry was changing. And I thought, well, what could I do next? And looking on it now, it seems like it was a really obvious transition. Like, oh, you can build audiences for different people, not just musicians, and spread messages for different people, not just musicians. And the podcast on podcasting was part of that. I thought, well, you know, I've been doing radio and people always ask me about it and spread a message via radio. Maybe I can do a podcast on podcasting that shares what I've learned. And then it ended up taking off into something much bigger. I've done a couple of books since then, got a third book on the way, and it's like this episode of the Feed Drop. It's trial and error, and some of the stuff stuck, and here we are.
Yeah. Tell us about your books a little bit.
Well, the book, again, it comes back to having something I wanted to say. And I've always done that. I've done that with radio, and I've done that with websites and newsletters. And the book, I'd had a couple music business books. I actually had a publishing deal with the Idiot's Guide, the orange one.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that kind of went south and started doing my own stuff. Being in Nashville, Nashville is a big publishing town. People think about it as music, but we are a huge, huge publishing town. So I had some access to some things here, started doing my own books, and I had all this thing to say. From the business standpoint, I needed a way to reinvent myself because everybody knew me as a music business guy, and I still had the radio show. Like I said, it's going out to so many people. So I'm still telegraphing that to everyone, but I needed something that I could throw on somebody's desk and say, no, I'm the podcasting guy. And I thought a book would actually be better than a podcast, ironically. and maybe it was, but you know, everybody had a podcast. Fewer people had books. So I wrote a book that easy four and a half years later or so.
Nice. What's the name of the book?
Called Big Podcast.
Big Podcast. So yep. Same name as the podcast.
Same name. Yeah, man. I'm hammering that hammer.
That's cool. Well, let's talk about the book a little bit. So what do people learn in this book?
The book is the same as the podcast. It's about how to spread a message It is about how to make people care about what you're doing, how to build an audience, how to communicate certain things. But it goes really deep. It's ironically about small podcasting, not big podcasting. And I say that because it's about what we would call niche marketing. If you see anything online, you've seen that term before. It's not necessarily about doing a show like I've got or even some of the bigger shows. It's making something for a specific type of person. And it goes into depth about how to pick markets, how to find something that works for you, how to fly your flag. That's a huge thing. I know this is the growth tactics podcast, right? We're talking about hacks, tactics, things you can use to grow your podcast. And that's one of the biggest things that you can do is fly your own flag, put personality behind it. So I talk a lot about that, about sales psychology, about the psychology of why people will listen, and also having a good message that entertains people. It's not just about somebody listening and learning something. People want to be entertained as well.
Yeah, you've been thinking about podcast growth for a long time. I love the name of your show. That's kind of how I gravitated to it in the first place. And that's why I kind of want you to be the first guest I do this experiment with. What's your favorite podcast growth hack?
I think the favorite one that I have, maybe it's my favorite thing about podcasting. I think it's that you can put your message out there and you can be yourself, plant your flag, as I say, and then attract people that are like you. And we don't get to see that in other types of media. When I'm on the radio, I remember going in 2005 when we started Music Business Radio. They thought, I might be a little bit too niche. We need something that everybody's going to like so we can go to Ford and Coca-Cola and 3M and DuPont. And I was like, no, you guys don't understand. We're in Nashville. This is Music City, USA. We need a music business show. So I eventually won him over. But that's something that you don't see in a lot of media. They want something that's for everybody. And because of that, people will view it, but they kind of tolerate it. It's kind of like maybe these holiday movies you can see on Netflix or romance movies you see on Netflix. It's like, I'm not turning it off, but I don't really like it. And I think that's the opportunity we have as podcasters. And I think that's what makes it so powerful for us to connect with people and grow, but just not in the way that people maybe think about growing. Like I said, the book is Big Podcast. The podcast is called Build a Big Podcast, but it's actually a really small, tight audience. It's not that small. You're talking maybe 5,000-10,000 people, but it's not millions of people. Right. If you've got 5,000 or 10,000 people, though, you can do a lot. You can certainly have a great living and you can make a lot of impact too.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm glad you said make a good living. I noticed. So you still have your foot in two industries. It sounds like you still have your foot in radio and podcasts. Why not go full podcasting? You said you kind of burned out in radio, but you're still doing it.
Well, I was burned out in the music industry.
Okay.
But yeah, to be honest with you, man, and I would say this to them, I'm working with my friends.
Mm.
I mean, I think that as a kid growing up in Nashville, wanting to be part of the music industry, which I was for several years. And again, I consider it broadcasting now. It's like, it's easy to get in the grind and not realize how awesome that is, that you can get on a mic and the signal goes everywhere. And it's not about ego. I think it's just empowering people. And I think it's being proud of where you're from. Like, we are Nashville. It's not just bachelorettes and it's not just whatever football. It's a creative community that has had an impact on the world. And I want to showcase that. So that's my motivation. And that's the reason that I stick that aspect of broadcasting out.
That's really cool. And I know you teach a lot of your listeners about the monetization aspect of podcasting. How is the podcast compared to your radio show for yourself?
As far as monetization?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's much better because the radio show, you got producer, engineer, studio time. There's just a lot more people, salesmen get commissions and things like that. The model is advertising on that. So that's pretty solid. It's probably better than you could do on most podcasts just because of the nature of radio and it hits so many people. But with the podcast, because I control all of it, it's not a partnership with me and a broadcasting company that I can put my own products behind it. And those plug-ola laws that I mentioned earlier about not being allowed on the radio.
Yeah, right.
I can plug all I want, baby. Right. So the monetization comes from that, not actually the podcast itself, but because people can hear me, they get to know me, they buy the book or they hire me, or it comes off as, I guess, expert credibility.
Right. So what are your monetization streams for Build a Big Podcast?
Well, there are ads on Build a Big Podcast. I've got a newsletter that's attached to it. There are also ads on that, but more or less, it's going to be direct sales of my own stuff.
Right. A direct sales meaning you're, like consulting or?
Yeah. Consulting membership that I've got going on called Big Podcast Blueprint. There are books attached to it. There's some things of that nature.
Yeah. Tell us about the blueprint.
So blueprint, I don't know if it's just for me, but I imagine it's for every author that people read your book and they've got more questions. Mm-hmm. Or it's definitely this way with podcasting. People hear your podcast and go, oh, I want more. Like this is what I'm talking about when I talk about plant your flag, is that people, they have a taste of you. They've got that cookie at the mall, right? And you got something more for them. So if people really want to sit down with me and really work through their own stuff and have me listen to it and give you feedback and work with other podcasters that are just as excited as you are, that's what the blueprint is. So there's a step up. And that's the kind of work that I actually like doing.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, we're about to hear one of your episodes. Tell us a little bit about it.
This is sort of a hybrid. This is on Build a Big Podcast, but this is the behind the scenes of the radio show, Music Business Radio. And because it's a radio show, because it's attached to different stations, we have a lot of people. What they want is they want their artists to have airplay on a station, and it introduces an artist to stations that hopefully will spin their records as well. So that's kind of the background of that. And because of that, we get hit up by publicists all the time, every day. And they try to, probably much like podcasters, my podcast gets hit up like this too. And they try to be a guest. So what I wanted to do is talk to podcasters about what happens when a publicist comes to you and it's not a very good guest, or it's not a very good pitch, or it's not a match, or maybe there's something there. First of all, you can say no. But if there is something there, what can you do to make it work for you? Because these publicists are ruthless. Pat, I don't know if you experienced this or not, but you're probably like me. You're getting hit up by these publicists and they have no fear of rejection. They don't quit. They just keep coming back. They don't take no. And I wanted to explain to people, being somebody in the trenches like that, and this is another reason for being in the trenches, like how I deal with them. So this is a situation that I was in, a publicist that I know, she's gotten us a lot of great guests, but she came to me with kind of a mismatch and about how I worked with her to make it work for us and work for her too.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I don't get hit up by publicists quite yet, but I do get hit up by individual podcasters who want to promote something or want to share their story. I guess this is kind of, this will be pretty practical advice for them.
Yeah, well, it's totally practical because as podcasters, especially with them, because they're involved with their own thing. And when we're involved with our own thing, we think it's the most important thing and everybody's going to want this.
Yeah.
And they come to you, Pat, and you're like, I don't know. So, and it's tough, right? Because with Pod Inbox and the stuff that you're doing, you don't want to piss off a podcaster because then he might not talk about your services very nicely or hire you for other things, you know? So there's a degree of tact and skillfulness that you need when dealing with publicists or anybody. And that's really what this podcast is about.
Oh man, that's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. And this is a relatively new segment on your show, right? I've been listening to your show for a long time, but I think I only recently just heard one of these behind the scenes episodes.
Yeah. So the answer is yes and no. I've been doing this for a long time, but it's within the blueprint. And that's where the real dirt is, honestly. I'm not trying to sit here and sell it, but I can name names. And we can talk about some of this stuff if you want. I don't. This is going on a little bit of a tangent, but like there is so much stuff that happens behind the scenes in between commercial breaks of a guest comes in and he's maybe intoxicated or there's time zone mix-ups. And I try to take people behind the scenes and show them the problems and how to work around them because everybody's going to run into problems. Maybe somebody doesn't show up with a good mic or something on these remote interviews. How do you work around those problems when you really want an interview? Or maybe you're scared to ask somebody for a sound check, equipment check beforehand because it is somebody famous and you're thinking, oh, I don't want them to say no. What do we do now? So,
Yeah. And it's cool. I mean, I love the format too. And I love how you edit these episodes. I don't know if you mentioned it, but you're not just talking about the behind the scenes, but you're actually showing what's actually happened with the actual audio you're capturing.
I am. This one, however, is a little bit different than I'm reading the emails that she sent me because the pitches are happening via email.
Oh, right.
But the other ones, though, yeah, definitely. When we've got behind the scenes audio, like the banter that happens between the commercials, the banter that happens when we're doing promos, the banter not just with me and the guest, but also a producer who's on the line and also an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear like how we work as a team and how the show gets out. Yeah.
Right. That's cool. And are you planning to keep doing these types of episodes?
Yeah, I'm like you with this one here. It's an experiment.
Yeah.
And